ओम ज्ञानच निरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 6 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट्स 1-8 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद founder Acharya of ISKCON. This chapter is called Narad Muni, cursed by Prajapati Daksha. The introduction is as follows. This chapter relates how all the sons of Daksha were delivered from the clutches of the material energy by following the advice of Narada, who was therefore cursed by Daksha. Can everyone hear okay? Influenced by the external energy of Lord Vishnu, Prajapati Daksha begot 10,000 sons in the womb of his wife, Panchajani. These sons, who are all of the same character and mentality, were known as the Haryashvas. Ordered by their father to create more and more population, the Haryashvas went west to the place where the river Sindhu, now the Indus, meets the Arabian Sea. In those days, this was the site of a holy lake named Narayana Saras, where there were many saintly persons. The Haryashvas began practicing austerities, penances, and meditation, which are the engagements of the highly exalted, renounced order of life. However, when Srila Narad Muni saw these boys engaged in such commendable austerities simply for material creation, he thought it better to release them from this tendency. Narad Muni described to the boys their ultimate goal of life and advised them not to become ordinary karmis, to beget children. Thus, all the sons of Daksha became enlightened and left, never to return. Prajapati Daksha, who was very sad at the loss of his sons, begot 1,000 more sons in the womb of his wife, Panchajani, and ordered them to increase progeny. These sons, who were named the Shavalashvas, also engaged in worshipping Lord Vishnu to beget children. But Narad Muni convinced them to become mendicants and not to beget children. Foiled twice in his attempts to increase population, Prajapati Daksha became most angry at Narad Muni and cursed him, saying that in the future he would not be able to stay anywhere. Since Narad Muni, being fully qualified, was fixed in tolerance, he accepted Daksha's curse. I'll read the translation of verses 1-6. No, 1-5. Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, impelled by the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, Prajapati Daksha begot 10,000 sons in the womb of Panchajani Atikni. My dear king, these sons were called the Haryashvas. My dear king, all the sons of Prajapati Daksha were alike in being very gentle and obedient to the orders of their father. When their father ordered them to beget children, they all went in the western direction. In the west, where the river Sindhu meets the sea, there is a great place of pilgrimage known as Narayana Saras. Many sages and others advanced in spiritual consciousness live there. In that holy place, the Haryashvas began regularly touching the lake's waters and bathing in them. Gradually becoming very much purified, they became inclined towards the activities of the Paramahamsas. Nevertheless, because their father had ordered them to increase the population, they performed severe austerities to fulfill his desires. One day, when the great sage Narad saw those boys performing such fine austerities to increase the population, Narad approached them. Now, verses 6-8 are in one sequence here. Only verse 8 is written on the board, but the sannyasis can't see it. What shall I do? It's quite late. I'll just read the verse. So this is verse 8, which is written on the board. Nadim ub hayato vaham pancha pancha bhutam griham vachiddhang sam chitra katam kshora pavyam svayam brahmi. This is the translation of verses 6-8. The great sage Narad said, my dear Haryashvas, you have not seen the extremities of the earth. There is a kingdom where only one man lives, and where there is a hole from which, having entered, no one emerges. A woman there who is extremely unchaste adorns herself with various attractive dresses, and the man who lives there is her husband. In that kingdom there is a river flowing in both directions, a wonderful home made of 25 materials, a swan that vibrates various sounds, and an automatically revolving object made of sharp razors and thunderbolts. You have not seen all this, and therefore you are inexperienced boys without advanced knowledge. How then will you create progeny? Purport. Narad Muni saw that the boys known as the Haryashvas were already purified because of living in that holy place and were practically ready for liberation. Why then should they become encouraged to become entangled in family life, which is so dark that having once entered it, one cannot leave it? Through this analogy, Narad Muni asked them to consider why they should follow their father's order to be entangled in family life. Indirectly, he asked them to find within the cause of their hearts the situation of the Supersoul, Lord Vishnu, for then they would truly be experienced. In other words, one who is too involved in his material environment and does not look within the core of his heart is increasingly entangled in the illusory energy. Narad Muni's purpose was to get the sons of Prajapati Daksha to divert their attention towards spiritual realization instead of involving themselves in the ordinary but complicated affairs of propagation. The same advice was given by Prahlad Maharaj to his father. Tatsadu manye suravarya dehinam sadasamad vigna dhyam sadgrahat idvatma tapatam rihavanda kubam tanangato yadharin ashrayeta. In the dark well of family life, one is always full of anxiety because of having accepted a temporary body. If one wants to free himself from this anxiety, one should immediately leave family life and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan. Narad Muni advised the Haryashvas not to enter household life, since they were already advanced in spiritual knowledge. Why should they be entangled in that way? We've all come here to Sri Mayapur to hear some Krishna Katha, discussion of the topics of Krishna. Of all the books of Krishna Katha, Srimad Bhagavatam is prominent, most important, especially among the Gauriya Vaishnavas. Here we are discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam topics of family life and how to get disentangled, which may not seem like Krishna Katha, but it is Krishna Katha, because Krishna Katha also means the process of how to become advanced in Krishna consciousness so that we can actually come to the point of absorption in Krishna Katha. That means we have to become fully detached from material attraction. Then we can become attached to Krishna. Now, how do we do that? By hearing Krishna Katha, by hearing the pastimes of Krishna. That is what we could say, the positive process, increasing the attraction. But we should also hear topics which decrease our attraction for material life, because we are all attached to this material world. And as long as bhukti, mukti, spriha, yaga, as long as the desire for material enjoyment, vidhi vishachi varthate, which is just like a witch sitting within our heart, the desire for material enjoyment, or even the desire for liberation, then we can't experience the real happiness of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, in the Bhagavatam, so many narrations are given which also are meant to increase our renunciation. Not simply to increase our renunciation, but in a directed way. Directed way that we'll become renounced from material life and become attached to, specifically to Krishna. Renunciation may also mean that you become, what does renunciation mean? Become detached from everything. But we don't want to become detached from everything. We don't want to become detached from Krishna. We want to become attached to Krishna. So non-devotees, they're also, means mayavadis, they're also trying to become detached. They emphasize more on detachment because they have no specific object of attachment. Therefore, they only have detachment. But devotees' main goal is to be attached to Krishna. But as long as we are attached to material life, then we cannot be fully attached to Krishna. So these narrations are given in other parts of the Vedic literature. We may hear narrations of the detachment of those who are on the impersonal planet. But here in the Bhagavatam, we hear about the detachment of those who are devotees of Krishna. Narad Muni, he is detached from all material enjoyment, and here in this chapter, he is inspiring the Haryashvas and later on the Savalashvas to become detached from material life and specifically very much attached to Krishna as he is, so that they can go back to Godhead. So specifically this topic comes up in relationship to Daksha, who is a great personality, no doubt. But he is attached to material life. How can that be? It means he's a great personality. He's more advanced than the average karmi and definitely more advanced than the average vikarmi. He's a great personality. That's why he's been given the chance, he's a demigod, to be a prajapati. That's the service of Lord Vishnu. The demigods, they have a services to perform to Lord Vishnu, but they are sakambhaktas. So they're getting their desires for material enjoyment and fulfilled, but also in a responsible way. They also have some, not that they're simply enjoying, but the principal demigods, they also have some responsibility in the maintenance of the universe. They're given that service by Lord Vishnu, not that he needs them to do it, but he gives them, because they've attained their position as a demigod, activities, which means they must have some relationship with Vishnu. Because if they have no relationship with Vishnu, if they simply perform some apparently pious activities, then they're more likely to end up enjoying in the subterranean heavenly planets where there's no attraction to Vishnu. So the demigods, they have some attraction to Vishnu, therefore they're devas. Vishnu bhakta bhavet daiva. The demigod, the definition of demigod is the devotee of Vishnu. So they're there, they're also entangled, but they've been given some service to do. But that's not the best position. The real position is to be nishkam bhakta. So Daksha, he's also a devotee. He had the direct darshan of Lord Vishnu. He was performing austerities for the sake of getting empowerment to perform his service, which was dovetailed with his material desire to enjoy sex life, of producing many children. So he had that, he had the darshan of Lord Vishnu, but he wasn't designed to have the darshan of Lord Vishnu simply for the sake of purification. Now we see also in the case of Dhruva Maharaj, he had some material desire, but when he had the darshan of Lord Vishnu, then his material desires, they became negated, and he only desired to serve Lord Vishnu. He had no other desire left. But in the case of Daksha, even he got the darshan of Lord Vishnu directly, but still he had that desire to propagate children for the filling up of the universe, which is also a function, that's an external function that Lord Vishnu oversees. That the universe, it should be filled up. Why? Because all the non-devotee living entities, they're here in this universe, so they have to be given the opportunity to set bodies, so that otherwise they're inert in the body of Mahavishnu. So they have to have the opportunity to take bodies so that they can one thing, act out their silly desires to be the Ishvaraham Aham Bhogi, I am God, I am the enjoyer, and suffer like that, and also get the chance to take advantage of the real purpose of the creation, which is to become purified of all these nonsense desires and go back to Godhead. Therefore the different incarnations come. Narad Muni is also an incarnation, Shakti Aveshavita, empowered in Bhakti Shakti. He's empowered to give Bhakti to others. So the Daksha and others, they have the job of filling up the universe with living beings. And those who are materialistic like Daksha, they think, that's it. We did it. We made lots of children. And they'll also have lots of children. And then they'll also have lots of children. And I'll be famous of having my sampradaya, the Daksha, not exactly sampradaya, but my dynasty, Gotra. then see people they like that Prabhupada commented how they like that their name will be remembered. There'll be a statue put up and the pigeon will come and pass through. And they're hoping, when I'm dead, I'll have my obituary in the newspaper. It won't help you. You'll be gone somewhere else. They're so foolishly attached to this body, they think even after I'm gone, I'll be glorified. You'll be gone, yes. You'll be having your obituary in the newspaper and some will be using that newspaper to wipe the stool off their backside and you'll be a worm in that stool. But you don't think of it. So the materialistic people, their consciousness is very small time. And Narad Muni, he's also a representative of Lord Vishnu, but he's on the other path. He's on the Nivritti Marga. He's not on the path of both Daksha and Narada following the Vedic path, but Daksha is blind. He doesn't see what is the real purpose of the Vedas. He thinks that, creating families, performing austerities to get strength. He was also observing Brahmacharya, but for the purpose of forgetting later on, he's performing austerity. Austerity means there must be Brahmacharya. Then later on, I'll get strength and then I'll have enjoy like anything. So that Brahmacharya, that's not recommended. But Narad Muni, he saw these young boys, nice young boys, very austere, very obedient, sober, they're living in a holy place, taking bath in a holy place, associating with so many other saintly people are there. Means they must have been most saintly people means they're on Nivritti Marga. They're interested in renunciation. Narad Muni thought, these people are prime candidates for Krishna consciousness. Let me go and preach to them. So he did. And he delivered them back to God. And their life was perfect. And Daksha also became benefited. He doesn't realize. He's thinking, that's spoiled. But he's actually benefited. He had got the darshan of Lord Vishnu. He didn't realize that this is my real goal of life, to serve Lord Vishnu unmotivatedly. But his sons, they're more advanced than him by the grace of Narad Muni. And by the grace of Narad Muni, even though Daksha doesn't like what he preached to them at all, he's also benefited, because if the sons become the pure devotees, especially pure devotees, and go back to Godhead, then all the generations before and after 21 generations, they benefit. So Narad Muni is giving the real purpose that, as Prabhupada says here, if you want to free yourself from the anxiety of family life, you should leave home immediately and go to Vrindavan. Take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan. So, ultimately, this has to be done. They're saying immediately. Actually, we don't, usually in day-to-day affairs, we don't recommend immediately to householders to leave, because they have some responsibility that's also there. There are two things. There's spiritual responsibility and material responsibility. So the two things have to go on side by side. But ultimately, it should be understood that the material responsibility is ultimately meaningless anyway. The real responsibility is to get out of this material entanglement and go back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, these topics should be heard regularly. Householders, they may not like to hear these things. How, as is repeatedly said, last year I was giving Bhagavatam class here in Mayapur, and what was it? Swajanakya Dasya. Same thing, that the words of the Bhagavatam, the so-called Swajan, our own family members, are near and dear ones. They're simply thieves. As Prabhupada gave the example, that if you're walking on the street or you're standing in the kirtan and someone steals your money, you've got a thief. Catch them. Chase them. Don't let them take my money. But then you go home to your, after earning your money, and your wife says, give me all your money. Oh yes. The children, I need this, I need them. Therefore, Swajanakya Dasya. They take your money, they take your time, they take your life. So these are topics of Bhagavad also, Krishna Katha. So there's a tension between, because they don't always, we say it's adapted family life, Krishna consciousness, perfect family life, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But quite honestly speaking, it's very rare to find, because how many devotees are on the level of Bhaktivinoda Thakur? And even he left home at the end of the life when he became an abhishek. So ultimately everyone should aim for this. Men should think, now I'm in family life, I have some responsibility. In due course of time, if I'm going to fulfill my spiritual responsibility properly, I should get out of this. Vanangato yadha dinashri tatapar kotsu. Hidvatma paatam grihalanda kupam. Give up this dark well of family life and go to Vrindavan, take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada writes here in the purport that family life, it's so entangling and so dark that having once entered it, one cannot leave it. And we see this even among devotees also, that even despite hearing these topics, it's very difficult. Even the family, the sons and daughters have all gone away and got married and had their children, but still, devotees, 50 years old, 55, 60, I think, well, 65, still living at home. But Bhagavatam recommends, Prabhupada is repeated, not Prabhupada is commenting on Shastra. Guru means who follows Shastra. Now there's so many topics. What is Guru? Is he this? Is he that? Is his shika curly head or is it straight head? Or so many different things. A Guru means who follows his Guru and Sadhu and Shastra. Follows in his own life and teaching. It's not such a difficult thing to understand. So Prabhupada is following Shastra. Here in Bhagavatam we have repeatedly discussed these topics. That family life is entangling, therefore we should not remain in that. You should come out and fully dedicate to Krishna, because you've got this human form of life. You have to remember Krishna at the time of death. The attachment is so strong to family members that one wants to remain in that even up to the last point of death. But then what happens? You think, oh, my wife. And then what happens? That you can understand. Next life, you become the next one. So it's nice to be a nice wife, but it's nicer to go back home, back to Godhead, which is the real point. So these points, these discussions should be heard. It may seem very cruel and harsh, but material life is cruel and harsh. And we may say, well, my family are all devotees, that's true, but there's still, you have some material manner of attachment to them. Sneham harsham imam chindhi dira Pandushu Vrishnishu Kunti Devi, she is praying. Now she doesn't have any material attention, but she's feeling like that. She's praying to Krishna, relieve me of my attachment to the Pandavas and Vrishnis, this very strong attachment. She was praying like that, because that is the nature of bodily attachment. We become attached on the bodily platform. Therefore, renunciation is not recommended. It is required. Otherwise, simply born again, and then there's no guarantee. You see, even someone may be a very good devotee in this life, but there's no guarantee. He may, in his next life, somehow some bad association. Anyway, why even take another birth? Go back to Godhead. This Krishna conscious movement is meant for exporting everyone back to Godhead. Just like Narad Muni. He doesn't have any unlimited appetite for preaching, sending people back to Godhead. 10,000 Haryashwas, Jai! They went back to Godhead. So Daksha, very disappointed. 1,000 more sons. But Narad doesn't think, okay, I already sent 10,000, let Daksha be happy in his maya, with all, let him have a few more sons. After all, Lord Vishnu wants him to do it. But Narada Muni again went to preach to them. You see, your sons, your brothers, they already went back to Godhead. you should also go back to Godhead. And they did. They went back to Godhead. And Narad Muni got cursed. Of course, no curse can affect him. He doesn't even mind if there's a curse, because he sent someone back to Godhead. Not only one, but many, many, many. So this message is repeated throughout Bhagavatam. We should hear this regularly. It's important to do so. We have so many philosophical discussions, but this basic point, not to be attached to the bodily concept of life. Now, within family life, that may be difficult to understand how to implement that. Then what do? You slam the door on your wife and tell her, you're simply Maya. The wife slams the door on her husband, you're simply Maya. Somehow they have to live together. That somehow means putting Krishna in the center of their lives. And they should understand also by discussing, reading these books together, that we are only in this situation temporarily. We have our responsibility to bring up children, and that should be done fully, with full attention and care, to make them devotees of Krishna, to see to their material needs also. But also understanding that this is not our permanent situation. Our permanent situation is back home, back to Godhead. However, again, it's the dialectic, the two things. They don't run very smoothly together. That is, the nature is, the nature of family life is that it is, it creates an illusion that I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, this is my home, I'm comfortable here, why should I leave? Why should you leave? Why should you leave is not the question. You have to leave, sooner or later. So the message of the Acharya, the message of Bhagavatam, is be always alert. Execute religious activity as if you are to die tomorrow or earlier. And cultivate knowledge. Go on cultivating knowledge throughout your life as if you're going to live forever. Means never think that I've studied enough or learned enough. Study, go on studying. Shastra, imbibe this message. The whole Varnashram, Prabhupada writes in one purport that the whole Varnashram system is meant for detachment from sex life. So Grihastha Ashram, that's also meant for that. It may seem strange. How is that? Because that's the only ashram which it's allowed. But it's allowed, and within the ashram means going on hearing and hearing. How? Yes. Sex life for producing Krishna conscious children, that is good. But that should be also restricted. Otherwise, the tendency is that you take it as something for enjoyment. It's bewildering. Bhagavatam gives the example of the whirlwind. That all the dust is